going, Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Monday morning. Well, look, another roller coaster by the Eagles, and one they pull out. I mean, obviously, to this point this year, they could be 3-0. They could be 0-3. To this point, it nets out 2-1. It was a gutty win yesterday in the midst of a lot of adversity that, to a large extent, they created themselves. I know emotions were incredibly high for a lot of fans through that game. We'll talk about it all today because there's an awful lot to digest from the good and the bad. So all of it with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494, including Sirianni's decisions, Hurts' play, the bad, the good, you know, the tremendous defensive performance, Saquon Goddard and more, including the win. 215-592-9494, Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, buddy.
In the last 4,000 years, no new animals have been domesticated.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's an unbelievable fact.
It kind of is.
It really is. You know what's also unbelievable?
I think I can debate that a little bit. So, like,
why?
Some of those, like, I read a book when I was a little kid called Rascal.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a little 50s kid who found a raccoon and adopted him as his pet. Like, that raccoon was domesticated. Like, does that count? That little raccoon probably wasn't included in the animals that were originally domesticated.
I ordinarily would be very interested in a deep dive. Right now, let's just get to football. So,
okay. Fair enough.
You know
what I mean? We won yesterday, by the way.
Yeah,
I know there's a lot of lamenting going on, but we did win.
It is, by the way,
a football game
against
a team that everyone seemed to think we were going to lose against.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, it was... Let me just start with this. I can't be the only one. I might be the only one to think this, but I'm probably not the only one where once you think about it, you realize. I think we needed a brain transplant after that game to process everything that had gone on. I mean, that was like getting a concussion and trying to wake up afterwards and figure out what happened and what does it mean.
I think I can boil it down.
All right, boil it down. Go ahead.
It takes a while. Give me a sec to get to the bottom of the pot.
Okay.
That we're boiling in here.
Yeah.
All right, so after yesterday, we need to notice that Atlanta, the Falcons team that we struggled against and lost to Monday night, they actually are kind of good. They did well against the Chiefs last night.
Competitive,
and the
yeah.
Chiefs reminded us that they need work, too. Andy Reid needs work, too. His team needs work, but they won, and it was close, and, you know... We also won. Let's not lose sight of that fact. And we're gaining confidence, and we're grinding in games, and our defense is winning for us, and our run game is winning for us. And thank God, an awesome tight end in Dallas Goedert is winning for us.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible. They finally pre-planned in the first 15, Dallas Goedert. We're going to have to do that every week because he is that good. Old school football. That's what we've been begging for. That's what we got. Our defense won us that game. Our running game won us that game. Our old school tight end won us that game. We won, and we have a template for winning. Leaning into Jalen and Saquon and the run game. And our offensive excellence just requires carries. Our defensive excellence requires want to and inspiration. And Vic Fangio getting medieval with the guys during the week. Hey, that's not tough enough. You could see the difference. It was just guys wanted it. So great to see. Great to see that that's a solvable situation. And my issue is it doesn't feel like we're getting the best version of our head coach. And it came awfully close to being ugly yesterday. I guess everyone's still working out exactly what our head coach is. I'm sort of fed up with wondering that. I wonder if the players are fed up with wondering that. It bothers me that Nick Sirianni's the head coach of a team that fails at situational football. And this goes back the whole way to when he first started and he was calling plays for us. And I'm saying, why aren't we doing 2 minute at the end of halves? Why don't we try to score every single point we possibly can? Squeeze every bit of juice out of that
orange. I never agreed with you back then.
It didn't make any sense to me because every offense I've ever been on, it matters to those offenses because that's practice. Those are reps you can get. Those will make you better the next game. I just don't think... It bothers me Nick was the head coach of a team that was bad at situational football. And now we're pulling back from Nick, and we know the team, the organization's pulling back a little bit, but we've never maximized the end of halves. You know, it wasn't Peyton Manning-esque in the way he would, like, an offense would fastidiously attack relentlessly. We would hand it off at the end of halves, you know, okay, we relent. That's across offensive coordinators, that problem that I have. So it falls to the head coach and the quarterback. That's where the problem, you know, I can isolate it from my perspective. It feels like Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, they're both responsible. We don't know how. They both need to be better. We'll probably never know if Nick once upon a time made it, like, dialed it back and made it simple for Jalen's sake because Jalen was new at the offense and then things didn't progress the way they should have. I don't know. Nick has been capable of making it close against teams that have no business being on the field with our roster. That's the way I feel. Like, Nick Sirianni, I'm not exactly sure everything that goes into and composes the role, but I know it feels like, you know, we're getting a lesser version of him because I've been told we're getting a lesser version, a dialed back version. It doesn't seem like that's helping. It doesn't seem like that's making us a better team. And I wonder, you know, week five, I thought when I first saw the schedule and when it came out, week five, that's a weird time for a bye. That's a time for a self-scout and some reshuffling, re-examination. How are they going to reshuffle things after that early bye to probably remove more power from Nick Sirianni? That's what I would expect.
I don't expect that. So,
right, after decisions like he made yesterday, suspect decisions,
well, John,
nearly cost us that game.
To be fair, there's only one more way to remove power from him, and that's a fire. Just to, you know, all right. So, all right. All of this on the table at 215-592-9494. Let me start with this. And, John, I agree with most of what you said. Not all, but most. Let me start with this. The Eagles won yesterday in spite of Nick Sirianni.
Yes.
Period, end of sentence, in spite of him. Now, I do give him credit. I'll say this. They show a resiliency in a fight that I do believe comes in part from him. But the bad of Nick Sirianni yesterday far outweighed the good. His decisions on fourth down, kicking, punting, freaking disgraceful. Disgraceful. And I know there were a lot of people yesterday, and I know, I mean, like thousands, maybe millions, literally, maybe millions, calling for his job during the game. Okay, during the game. I get it, guys. So that is totally on the table here at 215-592-9494, because even though the Eagles have some great parts of their team and some not good parts of their team, the reality is this should be a playoff team, and you've got to figure out whether you want Nick Sirianni to be the head coach. I mean, to me, it's laughable Bill Belichick is available.
If the Eagles
and not
had
coaching.
Lost that game yesterday, would it be that far-fetched that people, that the organization would be considering a move?
So I'll say
if
this.
If we'd lost that game.
I understand. I don't think. Let me put it this way. I don't think the Eagles would have done it, but the thought might have gone through Lurie and Howie's mind.
I think so.
I mean, it's possible. Now, let me put it this way. I am not at the point this year to fire Nick Sirianni. I want to state that right on the record right now. I just think at this point it would do probably more harm than good. But he's got to get his act together as it relates to these decisions in the game. He's gone totally out of control with it. And frankly, I thought he had little feel for the game yesterday. See, here's the thing. There's what a chart says. Right when you're playing a team that's, let's call it average. Then there's what the chart should say against a good team. There's a chart that says what against the bad team. There's a chart whether your team's good. There's a chart whether your team's bad. Let me put it this way. There shouldn't be just one chart. There should be a coach at the end of the day that can assess where is my team within this game against that team
under these
circumstances.
Doug Peterson goes into the Super Bowl against the Patriots knowing he has
points.
To challenge the Patriots.
That's right.
He has to be ultimately aggressive
That's right.
at every turn.
That's a great example, John. So look, again, I give Sirianni credit for the fight the team shows because I do think part of that comes from him. I really do. But I also
I do too.
Yeah, I really believe that.
Yes.
But I also know, I mean, his decisions were an abomination yesterday. Now let's get to Jalen.
And it wasn't just here. oh, that's that decision there, that decision. It was
a lot.
A litany of decisions. A list.
I know. All right, let's get to Jalen. So here's the thing about Jalen Hurts that I think is putting a lot of people's brain in a blender. We're really not used to here with the Eagles, and I'm going back about 30 or more years, we're really not used with the Eagles to having an average or slightly above average quarterback. We have, for the most part, generally speaking, either had someone like really good or he really stinks. And so it's really easy to assess what the guy is. Now, Donovan obviously was really good but had his flaws, and we had consternation about that, but that was about trying to win NFC Championship games, get to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, and have glory. For the most part, we've had really good or really bad. Hurts is not really good, nor is he really bad. I mean, when you really net it out, when you really watch football across the league, he's probably slightly above average. And so what this is doing
But you can say Joe Burrow has played slightly above average this season.
No, hold on.
If you're just basing it on three games.
No, I'm not. Hold on a second. No, I'm not. So it's confusing the hell out of people. Because you see parts of it and you say, get this guy off my team. And then you see other parts of it.
That's the first half.
That's the first half.
And then the second half.
I know.
Jalen Hurts.
I agree.
Is healed. It does not look like he's lagging from the injuries of the last couple years.
He played much better as the game went on.
About.
Yeah, no, look, he
sprightlier, better decisions, but he is not a turnover maker. Has been a turnover maker.
Well, so
he's been turnover prone with 6 turnovers this season. That is uncharacteristic of Jalen Hurts. That is not going to continue.
Well, I don't think that's accurate any longer. I don't think you can say it's not a turnover maker
any
longer.
Hold on. What we've seen this year in 3 games is what you're going to base that opinion on?
Plus last year.
Base your opinion last year.
Last year.
Last year was the worst we've seen him.
Okay, so
and
plus
last
year.
I'm saying this year should not be a continuation of that.
But it has been so far.
That is concerning.
Yeah.
I'm saying that can be a bump. That's just a new offense, and I hope it can be taken care of.
All right, so all of this on the table at 215-592-9494. Let me say the sub-headline, because I do think the two main things, because so go they in many ways are still going to go the franchise, the coach and the quarterback, okay? And ultimately, Lurie and Howie need to make decisions on how long they want to ride with either, okay? And I'm not saying I'm off of either right now. I'm just saying, obviously, there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad on both. The bottom line is the Eagles won yesterday primarily because of 4 things. Their defense, their offensive line, Saquon Barkley, and Dallas Goedert. It's why they won the game. Primarily. Primarily why they won the game. So they're 2-1. Look, the reality is they should make the playoffs in a weak NFC East. They're pretty fortunate to be in what appears to be a weak division. And again, they could have been 3-0. They could have been 0-3. To this point, it nets out 2-1. How do I feel? Frankly, in a word, there's no one word. I'm frustrated. I'm confused. I'm happy that they won, but I'm still trying to figure out where my brain sits on all of it. 215-592-94.
I'm bothered happy, but bothered.
Yeah,
by
no,
a win.
I think that's a and also I'll say this. After last year, I wasn't in the mood for more of these wins where it's like, all right, my team won, but.
Yeah.
So it's like, here's what we're going to get a lot this year. I'm just telling you, buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, because you're going to get a lot of bad losses and you're going to get a lot of dirty wins. It's what they are. Your reaction. All right, so there's the little picture, which is yesterday's game, and then there's the big picture, which is what kind of squad we have and what it'll mean this season. If you can figure out what type of team the Eagles are and really nail it and know you're going to land the plane at the end of the year, good for you. But I think for a lot of us, there's a lot of confusion based on what we've seen. And, you know, it's going to take some time to fully net this thing out this year. But it looks to me like they will probably make the playoffs, but are far from a great team and are going to need to come together to have any shot this year to be elite. Because, as John said, Jalen and Nick both need to be better. And I'll give them give the defense credit for this. They really improved. That was really good work yesterday. And you got to give Fangio credit and the players credit because they were awesome. And by the way, Derek Carr, that was, if you're a Saints fan or someone that's like, Derek Carr, he's not so bad. He's pretty good. That was a bad game by him. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Jeff in Phoenixville kicks us off. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Interesting game. Joe, I would have called. I planned to call to say I was out of the hospital from when I called a couple weeks ago, but I watched the game from ER at Penn Presby again, which was fun.
Okay. Are you doing okay?
I had emergency surgery last night, so I'm upstairs relaxing. And you can't sleep. You know, it's the Crohn's again. It is, but it's cool because the whole emergency room had the game on their TV.
Yeah.
Everybody was cheering and everybody was screaming. And I just look at it as I'm watching this game. I'm sitting there on my phone. I'm like, we have Carson Wentz 2.0 with Jalen and his undecisions, you know, holding the ball way too long, doing stupid plays just like Carson did, you know, taking terrible sacks, taking terrible, you know, three plays he looks great, and then four plays he looks like a moron. And then you have Rich Kotite 2.0, because don't we have a kicker who's like one of the best in the league?
Sure do.
And we don't want to use him. Like, then why do we have him? I mean, I don't care he missed the 60-yarder. I don't care. That was whatever. But, like, you could – they got to figure out that this was going to be a low-scoring game.
Well, you don't – I'll say this. You don't know that, but I'll tell you this, Jeff. Where I thought Sirianni really made a mistake, I'd rather they go for it in those moments. In 2022, when you have an offense that's humming and is more likely to convert than in 2024 when you don't.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't understand why that's so complicated for him to understand.
Exactly. And Saquon had, what, four rushes in the first half?
I think it was five, but it was
four.
I think it was four.
Okay. That's insanity.
Yeah.
I mean, you paid how much for him? And I don't care what anyone says. He looks like a rookie. He's got speed like I've never seen.
Absolutely.
He looks great.
It's so wonderful to behold. It's a thrill.
Yeah,
and
no,
a privilege
I agree with that.
To watch this guy tote the rock.
I totally agree with that. Let's listen to Saquon after the game. You know, he talked about Jalen Hurts pretty extensively last night or yesterday, whatever it was, the afternoon, and had a lot of praise from Saquon yesterday publicly for Jalen Hurts.
He's the most poised human being I've ever been around in my life. He doesn't get flustered, never too high, never too low. And to be honest, you know, only being around him for however many months, learn a lot from him as a player and as a man too. So he's a leader of his team. And you know, obviously those turnovers is not what you want to happen, but that happens part of the game, but it's all about how you respond. And you know, he responded with a 2-minute drive going down the field and making a big play to Dallas, and Dallas running his butt off, and we find a way to get an end zone.
You know, we shouldn't overlook that point he made at the end. I mean, the bottom line is there were 2 minutes left. You got the ball, you know, you got some timeouts, but you don't have you're up against it. And Jalen did find a way to win the game. Let's listen to more of Saquon as he continued on about Hurts.
You know, he just comes in the huddle and says everything's going to be all right. Always got that look on his face that, you know, no need to worry. Just keep going at it, keep working, and we're going to be all right. You could just see it. You know, he don't even got to say much. You could just see it on his face. You could see it on his demeanor. He's a winner. He's a gamer, and he came up big.
All right, I'm really...
How reassuring is that for the rest of the guys?
Big. I mean, like I said, he's the leader of the team. You know, he's the heart. We all follow him, and you know, the way he responds is big.
All right, I'm very glad to hear Saquon say that about Jalen, obviously.
Absolutely.
It's important.
That sounds awesome on the offensive side. You know that I've been hoping that the offense, in its excellence and overpoweredness, which is what I think Saquon is and what I think Dallas Goedert is, if we use him properly, that that offensive side could buoy the defensive side also. This game was different than that. This game was...
Yeah, it was.
The defense was what you wrote home about. And, like, what they're talking about on the offensive side, like being, you know, playing off one another, the leadership that comes with that, we saw leadership growth yesterday from Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams,
who has
been outstanding this season.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we just never talk about Milton Williams, but this year he's getting more reps, it feels like. And early in that game, Vic Fangio set a precedent where he was going to put those guys in the game and put them next to each other and jam up the middle of that defense. And hey, it worked great. It worked so
great. Well, no,
it
was tremendous. It really was. James, Jalen Hurts is what?
An enigma, you know.
Good answer.
Yeah,
actually.
He really is, because it's hard to reconcile the guy. You see some of the decisions he makes with this guy who at the end of games here multiple times this season has been able to really come through in big ways when it matters most. Like, He's a fascinating guy to watch and frustrating most of the time. But look, after a tough day, things weren't going his way. When he needed it, he got it done yesterday. So
sure did.
I give him credit for that while being concerned about the long term still.
Like only he could have won that game in that instance, and only also made mistakes that could have lost. No, I'm talking about in the grand scheme of things. Jalen will give you the fumble in the Super Bowl, the things that cost you the game. He'll also, by not turning it over and giving you consistent decision making and
he doesn't do that.
That's what he did.
Yeah, but he hasn't in a while. He hasn't for a while making consistent
decisions.
He hasn't
done it the way we'd hoped. That was the identity I thought Jalen Hurts.
I think it's
easier than you think for him to return to that identity once he gets this offense down to where he understands it better.
I see it differently than you. Rias, Jalen Hurts is what?
Mentally tough, I will say yesterday. I mean, you know, that the way that game, you know, I text you, and I never text you during a game, and I said, I'm afraid you might be right about him. Mm-hmm. And the way that he played that fourth quarter was really impressive. I mean, because I just thought, I thought they would have had, listen, Sirianni took a lot of points off the board.
Sure did.
They should have had way more points than
that. Would not have needed to try a 60-yard field goal.
Correct.
Which I will say I was actually for, because you're desperate at that point to try to do something.
Yeah, something.
Because you're in a freaking hole.
Yeah.
Because you've created the hole.
I mean, they scored no points until the fourth quarter.
It was ridiculous.
And did it without Lane and without Devontae that too.
And AJ and Beckton.
And he stayed in the pocket more.
If you
lose Lane Johnson and Mekhi Becton, the guys that you've been working with, I would assume he would have started taking off more, and he didn't.
No, that's a fair point. Look, 215-592-9494 and all this. What C.J. Gardner-Johnson said after the game, man, he was moving his mouth. We'll get to that. Plus, Sirianni, I thought, very purposeful in his post-game press conference with certain themes he wanted to drill down on. What he said, some of it at least, you'll hear it next. Well, it's good they won because, man, we'd be in a far worse mood if they had lost that game. And they were playing with fire in a lot of ways yesterday, but they pulled it out. Cheddar Cameron, Jen Ritchie on this Monday morning. Let's also touch briefly on the Phillies. So, you know, ordinarily we'd be doing more on the Phillies, but it's the day after an Eagles game. And let's get to the Got a Door and Window of the Weekend, where you can buy a window or door and get the second and half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Got a Door and Window at 1-877-GO. GUIDA.com. All right, so not a good job by the Phillies this weekend, obviously. Not Zach Wheeler's fault. I mean, he pitched phenomenal yesterday, but just got no run support. I hope it doesn't cost him the Cy Young. We'll see. You know, you get that L instead of that W. It would have been nice to get one more dub there for him specifically.
What is he at, like 17?
I think it's a little below.
15 or 16, somewhere in there. Yeah.
One of them. So look, they are here's the deal standings wise. They are now one game behind the Dodgers. Phillies won yesterday. Phillies lost. Dodgers won. The Phillies own the tiebreaker. 6 games to go. If the Phillies go 4-2 and the Dodgers go 3-3, Phillies get the 1 seed. If it doesn't follow that kind of thing, then the Dodgers will get it. So, all right, we'll see where that one goes. The other thing to keep your eye on, the Yankees have now tied the Phillies. And that, of course, could play in a home field advantage for the World Series. Now, the Yanks got to get through a lot of teams in the American League in order to get there and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is there's now a chance, and a legitimate chance, that if the Phillies play the Yankees in the Fall Classic, you know, that's game one up there and game 6 and 7 up there like it was game 6 in 2009. Look, as it is for the team itself, John, just not a good weekend of baseball. The Mets obviously are they have more to play for.
Oh, the Mets are playing for their lives. Is obvious.
Yep.
Yeah, the Mets are just trying to stay alive as a wild card, and you can tell there's so much enthusiasm. The celebrations are out of hand.
The crowd.
It makes it more disgusting to watch that they are so happy with themselves.
Did you think about the Knicks?
They're so pleased about not on our field, whatever.
Did you think about the Knicks? Because I'm just curious if anyone else thought about the Knicks and Knicks fans while watching this series, because I did. It's like I remember what that felt like about 4 months ago, whatever it was, May, April, whatever that was. Sixers, Knicks, and Knicks fans, New York fans, and it's like,
I kind of feel like Mets fans are in a category of their own.
Well, they're kind of where the Phillies were 2 years ago. They're unexpectedly in a playoff race, and they might make it. And if they
so
do,
brash and brazen.
Hey, that's what the Phils were, man. You can't
coming in here in our face like they were.
Oh my God! All right, so we'll take your thoughts on the Phillies. Obviously, the Eagles the main topic. 215-592-9494. Coming up shortly, we'll get to Sirianni and CJ GJ and some of their post game comments. Let's go to Samaj right now. Samaj, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Samaj?
Good, sir.
It's a couple of things, a lot of pros and cons about the game this past weekend. But the biggest thing I wanna recognize is the offensive play calling, and obviously the defensive line and the whole defense came to play yesterday.
Well, that's true. So, let me say this about the offensive play calling, which obviously did not yield many points yesterday. I think that was more on Sirianni's decisions and Hurts' miscues early and lack of talent, because let's be real, they played without four starters yesterday as that game developed. I mean, when you're missing two linemen and two wide receivers, that's pretty incredible. But I do want to say this. Credit to Kellen Moore. It's probably him. Maybe Sirianni has a hand. Who knows? But Kellen Moore especially. That last big play to Dallas Goedert. You know, I saw some people.
Apparently Hurts audible to it.
Good by him. Yeah. Good by him. I saw some people on Twitter making a point. That's great. I saw some people on Twitter making a point to say, man, the Eagles got really lucky. Three Saints ran into each other. And like, sort of.
Well, that's the whole point.
But not entirely.
That's the design of the play to pull the defenders into one another.
Yeah, I mean, it's like.
We used to have a play called Bingo Cross. Backs insert inside and cross, and the whole goal was to pull those linebackers into one another's face.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
It's man coverage. You know it's man coverage. Jalen very smartly gets to a man beater with the drive route by the tight end. Yeah. Great job by Jalen.
But great job by Kellen Moore there. That is a play design that freaking worked.
Great job by Kellen Moore providing Jalen with that play,
with that
answer.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's what I'm talking about from last year, Joe. Jalen didn't have the answers that he needed to the test. Now we're seeing that he does have some of the answers. We are seeing that we are sight adjusting routes.
Sure.
We are running hot routes at times. Like all the things we've been begging for, we're seeing signs that things are coming around. It's not perfect yet.
No.
It needs to be a lot better.
But
and
John,
Jalen right now in this offense is uncomfortably pushing the ball into places he would not have in the past, which is a real worry.
Well, I agree with that. I do think you're overinflating the offense. They had 0 points entering the fourth quarter. I mean, like, that was not a good performance. Samaj, go ahead, buddy.
I think Jalen's forcing these throws because of the situations he's getting put in because of these bad play calls. I mean, we can't just ignore these play calls that aren't doing anything. Like when we called timeout and it was, I think it was 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2.
Yeah.
And we line up and act like we called timeout and Nick Sirianni talks to Jalen for 5 minutes. The whole stadium knows we're running.
Well, but that's not true. I mean, the whole stadium did not know Saquon Barkley was about to get the ball. I mean, come on, man. Let's be real. Most people thought it was going to be a run right up the middle, you know, with Jalen taking it on a sneak. So let's not go crazy here. Let's listen to Sirianni after the game. Sirianni talked, man, about a lot of things after the game. Of course, he'll be on our show tomorrow. After the game yesterday, I thought he was borderline emotional. You know, he had to be feeling the heat in those 3 hours. I think most Eagles fans were calling for his job. That's just my guess. I'll use the term most based on the text I got from him. There was one point yesterday, not making this up, I had my phone down for about 10 minutes, picked it up about 10 minutes after I had last cleared my text. I had 107 text messages in 10 minutes. 107. 107. Now, listen, it was about 12 different groups, and so obviously some of them had 10 or 20 or 30 within a group. Like, people were going crazy during that game yesterday, and I don't blame you. I was part of it also. I didn't call for his job, but I'm thinking about it. Let's listen to Sirianni after the game. Almost emotional. I'll call it borderline emotional, and I thought purposeful with his words postgame.
Adversity that happens in life all the time, over and over and over again. You're going to have small losses in between in every single game, whether it's an interception, whether it's a fumble, whether it's me going for it in a fourth down scenario and we don't get it. You got to overcome those things, and I'm so proud of those guys that they did that. It just showed such a resilience and a team, right? A team plays together. A team has each other's back. I can't tell you how many times Saquon and Jordan, Mylata, and Chauncey came up to me and was like, man, we got your back. We got your back, coach. I mean, this is a hard place to play. This is a hard place to win.
Look, it's a nice thing to hear. It's great that those players felt that not only sense of responsibility, but also choice to approach their coach. You know, that's
nice,
good.
But it's also kind of messed up that they have to console the head coach because he's doing such a poor job.
Well, he put them in a compromised position. Yeah,
in that spot with Andy Reid. Like, I can't imagine.
Well, we could.
There are a million times with Andy. Yeah. You might not have felt it. We felt it.
Yeah, that's right.
I wanted him to run the ball more than anyone in the world. And every offensive lineman at times in the locker room would pound the locker because we didn't run the ball enough. But, man, we respected.
You did respect. I know you did.
So much. What I can perceive.
No, I know you did.
Anyone feels for Nick Sirianni.
Maybe. I mean, listen, maybe they do love him, but they don't like the decisions. I mean, I don't know how they could have liked some of those decisions. The weird thing about here's the weird thing about the decisions with Sirianni. I actually thought in his first 3 years, I thought he was phenomenal at those
things. Yeah, the in-game stuff.
I thought he was great.
He would nail.
What Andy Reid was horrible at 15 years ago here. Horrible at.
It was his redeeming quality.
Yeah,
was what he was best at. And now it's like the less he has to do other than, I don't even know.
It's crazy. And I'm all for being aggressive. I mean, I have seen the light on how there's positives that come from the unconventional, which has become more conventional. But what Sirianni did yesterday was outrageous. Let's go to Dennis in Springfield. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Good morning, John. It's been a while. I hate the ugly win. I hate the lucky win. I hate we didn't play well. I look around the entire NFL, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of pretty wins.
That's true.
Point, Dennis. That is a good point. And you know what? There are some teams that are good at winning ugly who aren't even winning. You know, the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I know they're banged up. You can say the same thing about us. We are without two major weapons on our offense. The 49ers are without major weapons on their
I'd
offense,
I'd say
too.
Three when you include Lane.
That's true.
I mean, you can make the case they played the bulk of the game yesterday with their three best offensive players out of the game.
Sure.
I mean, I think three of the four, because you'd have to include Saquon.
The game.
That's right.
We won the game. Yeah. The 49ers were unable to win the game.
That's right.
49ers this season have been, I don't know, slightly less resilient, as reflected by their record. If you go by the record, if for posterity's purposes, everyone will. Right now, we're 2-1. We have a better record than they do, and we have exhibited greater toughness because of the way our defense played against the Saints team that we were told was going to just shove the ball right down our throats. They're going to run it all over us, and all week long, we didn't say that much.
Well, by the way, when you say told,
did.
When you say we were told, you were one of the people telling.
Telling what?
The Saints are going to shove the ball down the Eagles' throat.
No, I thought we would. I thought we would win.
But you thought the Saints were going to run pretty effectively. I mean, last week we thought
Eagles
said no run
defense. I thought
they
would try to run the ball. I knew that we would focus on stopping that, and that's why we had a good chance.
All right, Dennis, go ahead, man.
And the thing with the defense is, I can't remember the last time I said about this defense, I don't know what group played better, the secondary, the linebackers, or the defensive line.
I think it's the guys up front.
I thought that D-line. Secondary was outstanding too.
Oh well,
yes,
right. Yes and no.
I thought the back end was probably the weakest group, and that's not to say they were bad. I mean, Gardner Johnson got completely smoked on the one play. Now, that's a tough spot for him. It's a good wide receiver, and he's a safety. But that was a little concerning because, you know, they may need him in those kind of roles this year, and he wasn't even close to Olave on that TD. Not even.
That's Chris Olave.
I know.
And just another point. I mean, you look at the Eagles game last week, and you look at the Dallas game last week, and you look at how both those teams played yesterday. The Eagles came out and played balls out, while it looked like to me Dallas came out and didn't even show up for that game.
Look, Dallas has a problem. I mean, Dennis, they're in a spot right now, man.
You saw that they had like a flare up on the sideline defensively. Now it was Micah
and CeeDee too. CeeDee was yelling at Dak Prescott too.
Yeah, Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was a video. It happened in the moment.
They got issues.
Over, yeah.
They really do have issues. Let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's tailgate season, and Armin Chevrolet, check out the incredible lineup of SUVs at ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. First poll question, which individual or group is most responsible for the Eagles' win yesterday? Thought about having the O-line in this poll, narrowed it down to three without them. Most responsible, A, Saquon Barkley, B, Dallas Goedert, C, the defense. All could legitimately get votes in this poll. We'll see where it goes at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Second poll question, what stands out to you more from yesterday's Eagles win? Is it the positives or the negatives? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines on that as well. Speaking of weighing in, CJ GJ certainly did post game yesterday. I'll say this, and I mean this with no disrespect, although maybe a little disrespect. He is a diarrhea of the mouth kind of guy. I mean, he just is.
He doesn't stop.
I mean, when he gets going, it's just, it doesn't.
When they win, it's fun.
Right. Yeah. When they lose, it's really,
let's
really
call it stream of consciousness instead of diarrhea of the mouth.
All right, so he got going yesterday, went on and on and on. We'll give you a little snippet. CJ GJ talking some smack and more after the game.
He's stacking the victories. Next.
Take us to the final drive here. Talk about the interception.
We knew he was going to give us one all game. Like, everybody wanted to bet on. They thought they had us all on a little seven route. They're lobby. Okay, cool. But they didn't go over our head all day. It's cool. We got the best secondary, best D-line, best front seven in the league right now. And I'm popping it because at the end of the day, they said we were down and out. They gone about last week. Now look at you now.
That's been the top offense in the league coming into today.
Top what?
The Saints. In terms of points.
Top what?
You ready?
Top what? Ain't nothing. Listen, ain't nothing get over that top from.
Okay.
Shout out to Slay. Shout out to Q. Shout out to Vontae. Shout out to Reed. Shout out to Ringo. Shout out to Coach CP. Shout out to Coach JK. Amen. Best secondary in the league. That's the case.
What'd you have to play through today?
We ain't played through nothing. Played through my teammates. I'm not worried about somebody. Listen. We keep receipts. That's what I told y'all in my room. See y'all Sunday. But I told y'all a couple days before, they got rid of me. I ain't get rid of them. It's still in me. It's still tatted on me. I ain't worried. Come on, give me another one.
All right, CJ GJ, yesterday after the game, there's about 13 different themes in that one. John, what stood out to you the most?
Sounds like you got a mixture of sour grapes and enthusiasm for his new team, and then more sour grapes. And then,
belief in his team.
Belief and gladness that his team is the one that came out on top now. He certainly has a knack for just upping the volume, upping the intensity, and that's just what he's doing.
So here, I figured out yesterday who C.J. Gardner-Johnson is. He's the same guy, but just a better player. He's Patrick Beverly of the NBA. During the game, after the game, the mouth is just always going, tremendous bravado. You're going to kind of enjoy it when things are good. You're going to not enjoy it when things are bad. But either way, he's just going to talk a lot. I mean, it's just what he does. Let's get to Jim in Bridesburg. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Jim?
Very happy with the offensive and defensive line play. I mean, that defense was something to watch. It really was.
It was. It was great.
And it was flexible, Jim. It was creative. Yeah. You know, what Vic Fangio did, he mixed it up with the fronts. It wasn't all just one thing. He was changing it up with our big guys, putting different combinations of the big guys. It was awesome to see Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis playing at the top of their game.
Jim, I will say this, and this is not to skew negative because I was obviously freaking thrilled with how the D played. I'll just say this. I would believe in them more today if this was a Saints team that was like 8-2 instead of 2-0. Like, we don't really know how good the Saints are, even though they look great in the first two games. I mean, there was a year the Eagles started out 3-0 and finished 7-9 and didn't win a game for about a month and a half at one point. That's Carson's rookie year. My point is, Derek Carr yesterday came back toward the average after he had played exceptional. So I take their early season success with a bit of a grain of salt.
Yeah, the thing that does concern me, Joe, and you were spot on with this, is Sirianni. I mean, I gave him the benefit of the doubt up until yesterday, but man, those fourth down decisions,
yeah,
were scary.
They were scary.
You know,
they were scary. That's a fair way to put it. And I'll say this, Jim. They should have won the game more comfortably. Now, it wouldn't have been comfortable, okay, because they weren't good enough and didn't play well enough to win comfortably, but it could have been more comfortable. And I'll also add this. If they didn't play with so much freaking fire, maybe they won't have to give the ball to Saquon 20-something times every game. See, I'm telling you guys, there's going to be a toll here.
They didn't use him the first two drives.
No, I know they didn't, but he's annoying. On pace right now for over 500 touches this year. That's not acceptable. Just not. So it's part of how you win a game yesterday, but it's going to have an effect later this season if they have to keep giving them the ball 20 to 26 times a game. That's ridiculous. Wow.
This is what you do with the great bell cow back.
No, it's what you did in 1972 with the great bell cow back. Now you got to play 21 games.
Come on, man. I think it's
do you get that, though, John? You got to play 21 games.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to get the bye.
You're not going to be able to take advantage of all of his greatness if you bubble wrap him and sit him on the sideline the whole season. Why do you think part of what makes him so great is he's able to, you know, push through some being banged up here and there.
To this point in his career, he's rarely pushed through to the point where he plays 16 games.
He's had major injuries behind a terrible offensive line. Give him a chance. Give him a chance here be the bell cow that
he's the bell cow, but my point is, if you made better decisions earlier and played crisper football earlier, you wouldn't have to lean on him so much. And that can have an effect. It's like a bullpen in baseball. Look, guys, we saw in 93, Mitch, Larry Anderson, and David West were all, their arms are falling off in freaking late October because they've been used so much. That's my concern on Saquon. God bless him for what he's doing. He's an incredible player. If you as a team and Nick as a coach play better and make better decisions earlier, you don't have to lean on him so much. That's my point.